This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. Good morning on Christmas Eve. It's the 24th of December, 2025. And Merry Christmas just a bit early to you from all of us here at Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years, and also wishing you a Merry Christmas. Visit them online at ffbt.com. Greg Allen joins me with the news today. We have a mindset for soybean growers to think about as they plan the 2026 crop and the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement set for review next year. Midwest weather really has warmed up here in time for Christmas. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has more details on what's next. And yesterday's grain and oilseed markets mixed, uninspired. Arlen Suderman has commentary on the Hat Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Thinking of soybeans as a real crop and potential opportunities for agriculture through the USMCA. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. Heading to another crop year in 2026, one expert has advice for soybean growers, and it comes from thinking about soybeans as a real crop, not just the crop you put in between corn every other year. Andy Eubank has more.
Brad Gibson, sales agronomist with Bayer and Channel Seed, says the advice is simply to manage that crop.
Treat it with the management practices you do with your corn, from making sure the placement in, you know, the seed soil contact is there from start, the best treatments, getting populations, manage your population accordingly. Don't overplant them. Mix of varieties from maturities, whether it's the ExtendFlex platform or E3 platform.
He says the yield improvements have been very evident.
From 40 to 60, now 50 to 80. And I think it's a lot to do with the management, whether it's spraying fungicides over the top. There's some micro stuff that guys are doing with boron and some of those type of things. Start to manage soybeans like they do corn.
Gibson says a well-managed soybean crop not only yields more, it's part of helping the farm survive tough times.
And in today's environment, to be able to keep your farm going long-term, you have to do more to maximize that production.
Gibson noted seed treatments have had a major impact on growers being able to plant soybeans early, sometimes even before any corn is planted.
Because we don't have a problem getting stands for the most part. And sometimes the soybeans might lay there 5 to 6 weeks before they come out of the ground. And we're getting almost perfect stands. And I think that's really helped extend that season. This year for 25, we didn't have very good conditions, especially to finish out.
Gibson is based out of St. Louis, but many farmers across the Midwest have seen better results than they expected with all of the dry conditions this year. I'm Andy Eubank.
After years of dedication, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and selling their quality farm equipment through Purple Wave's December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. See the equipment yourself during open inspections at Osage, Iowa on Wednesday, December 17th and Monday, December 29th, both from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Visit purplewave.com for a complete listing. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
USMCA governs trade between the three largest trading partners in North America. And for U.S. farmers, Mexico and Canada remain two of the most important export markets for corn, soybeans, meat, and dairy products. According to Dave Salmonson, Senior Director of Government Relations for the American Farm Bureau Federation,
the U.S. Trade Representative's Office has solicited comments all kinds of people in industry, what they think of the opportunities for changes in the agreement. Our trade representative, Ambassador Greer, has been briefing the various committees on what the objectives of the government will be going forward.
While negotiations are still a year away, producers and commodity organizations are already urging lawmakers to modernize USMCA in ways that support long-term growth, stability, and profitability for American agriculture.
The folks from the various trade and other agencies, their governments will get together to work on the issues, prepare hopefully an agreement that they can discuss in July. And in Congress, we'll expect hearings from the House Ways and Means Committee and the Senate from the Finance Committee, perhaps other committees.
For farmers, the 2026 review could turn into a win for all of North America. Find more on this story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Arguably the nicest day of the week here today. We've got good sunshine in all areas for your Wednesday. High pressure is overhead, giving us the clear sky. We are seeing moderating temperatures. We're warmer today than we were yesterday. Tomorrow's going to be warmer than today. Friday, even warmer still. But even though the next 2 days are warmer than what we're talking about this afternoon, I think this is the nicest day of the week because of the sky condition. Tonight, clouds increase. We have some scattered rain showers that want to try and work through. We then take a pause for Christmas afternoon. May see the clouds break up, but I'm going to say, to be safe, look for a gray Christmas holiday. And then we have moisture come back on Friday. Combined from tonight through Friday, we're probably looking at anywhere from a tenth to half an inch with about 70 to 80% coverage across the Hoosier State. Saturday looks gorgeous, a sunshine, a blue sky, and warm, but clouds increase in the afternoon, and also we see some fairly strong winds in here because our next frontal boundary is fixing to come through on Sunday. That front does not have much moisture to work with. As a matter of fact, I don't think we see any precipitation here at all from the frontal passage on Sunday. But what we do see is a shock to the system. After a week of very mild temperatures, we're going to be quite cold for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and it's going to come with some very strong north and northwest breezes. That means a lake effect cloud cover will be in play here across our region, so just be ready. Now, the cold air eases by Tuesday of next week, slowly but surely, and then we get into New Year's Eve on Wednesday with temperatures, well, not as warm as Christmas, but moderating some. It's only going to be a false warming, though. We get ready to flip the calendar into 2026, and cold Canadian, even polar air, is trying to move southward. It is a sagging move. So I think we end up with a gradual shift into cold temperatures through New Year's Day on Thursday next week. But I also think we see some very strong gusty winds with this as this warm air and cold air battle takes it to the next level. There's not much moisture to wring out, but maybe we see a little bit of light snow flurry action or even some rain on the first into the second. We follow that up with chilly temperatures on through that first weekend. But the weekend also can bring some southwest flow for Sunday the 4th. So rain and snow both in my forecast right now. Currently leaning more toward rain than snow, but as we get closer to that time frame, January 4th, we will make a better call on what's headed this direction. So that's the setup here. Beautiful warm weather for this week, trying to turn a little bit colder as we flip the calendar then in January. Welcome to Winter with Mother Nature, your bipolar host. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
While snow may cover Indiana's soil and water, Hoosier farmers know the great treasure that lies out of sight. As we move through the holidays, know that the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance values you as an integral part of Indiana agriculture. However you contribute to viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water, IANA and its partners stand ready to help in 2026 as you manage expensive nutrients successfully and plan for next season.
too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Mixed close in very quiet pre-holiday trade. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review just before Christmas Eve, and the market's barely moved. We'll have the final numbers momentarily. First, market commentary from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I checked in with him near the end of the session. The day before Christmas Eve, and the markets are whisper quiet, Arlen, and really that's nothing new. We've been expecting that, and we've been experiencing that really since about Thanksgiving. Very, very quiet markets, not a lot of volume, not a lot of energy either.
Yeah, if there's any energy at all, it's in the wheat market led by Kansas City. And I would tie much of that to the rising geopolitical risks in the Black Sea. We're seeing attacks really escalate by both parties, Russia and Ukraine, as Russia has really been hitting hard Ukraine's infrastructure, particularly their export infrastructure now, where the ports at Odessa, their central exporting ports, are said to be operating at maybe 20% of capacity at best. They did have a soybean ship there that was hit in last night's attack. The day before, they had some soybean oil tanks that were ready to be loaded onto ships that were struck and caught fire, and millions of gallons of soybean oil running down the streets of Odessa. I saw the video of that, and it was quite impressive, just like floodwaters, but it was soybean oil running down the streets. So some significant damage there, slowing Ukraine's exports. On the other hand, Ukraine striking at those shadow fleet tankers that are hauling sanctioned oil from Russia, not only in the Black Sea, but even in the Caspian Sea and even in the Mediterranean Sea. They hit one on Friday near Libya. So the reach of the war hitting commodities more, raising concerns about it spreading more to those ships that are moving commodities out of that region. And while nobody really expects at this point for commodity movement out of the Black Sea to come to a halt, traders are covering some short positions ahead of the holiday break, worried about what might happen while they're on break in these days ahead.
With all the commodities and the stock market too higher on Monday, that seemed to be a day of just simply positive money flow. Yes? No?
Yeah, I would add to that. I mean, everyone talks about the Santa Claus rally on Wall Street. That's generally the last five trading days of the old year and the first two trading days of the new year, and traders want to be positioned for that. So while we opened weaker on some better than expected robust GDP growth numbers that came out this morning for the third quarter, that decreased odds that we'll see a rate hike anytime soon, rate cut anytime soon from the Federal Reserve. But then things turned around. They started focusing on the hopes for that Santa Claus rally once again, and the fact that the economy is maybe doing better than expected. And we saw stocks rally, crude oil firm up on that, as well as on some of the geopolitical risks.
Just an image in my head of that soybean oil running through the streets, that would seem to be good for soy oil demand. Let's talk about what the export picture is looking like. First for corn, maybe the good news, and then soybeans. Is there any good news there?
Let's start with the bad news, and that would be soybeans, which continue to lag behind where we need to be to hit USDA's target by better than 200 million bushels. I believe it's 227 million bushels as of the latest data we have as of December 11th from USDA. But we are closing that gap as China steps up the purchases. What we've been able to confirm through USDA is that China has purchased around 223 million bushels. Our sources privately indicate that there's about another 100 million bushels that China has purchased that USDA has not yet confirmed. So that'd bring in around 320 million bushels. The commitment was for 441 million bushels. So they're making progress. I just think shipments of those soybeans they purchase are going to be very slow, and that's going to be disappointing. On the corn side, though, pretty impressive. USDA's got a record export target of 3.2 billion bushels in marketing year export sales and shipments to this point, over 200 million bushels above the pace needed to hit that. Very impressive export demand. We naturally think of export demand going to Mexico, and that is true. Over 60 million bushels above year-ago levels for sales to Mexico. But the surprise has been big sales to Europe this year, big sales to South Korea, big sales to Vietnam, a number of different countries, as Brazil kind of curtails its exports with a big ethanol boom there, using more of its corn to produce ethanol.
Arlen Suderman of StoneX. Arlen, thanks for all the insight. We do appreciate it. Thanks for another great year of market commentary, and we certainly hope you and your family have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
No, Merry Christmas to you and to all of our listeners.
Arlen Suderman there, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Now the settlements from Tuesday trade, fractional gains in corn with March up a half cent, 447 and a half. We did get a penny higher move in the May and July corn contracts. May goes to 455 and a half, July 461. And lower in beans at the end, up and down though all day long. January beans 1051 and a half, down a penny and three quarters. March 1063 and three quarters, a penny and a quarter down. And May down a penny and a quarter at 1074 and a quarter. March wheat a penny and a half up, 517. The meat market's mixed. February live cattle 230 even. That was down $1.42. February lean hogs 85.97, up 62. That's a look at the Tuesday markets, and the markets are open on Wednesday for a partial day of trade, closing again at 105 Eastern Time. Merry Christmas to all of you from all of us at Hoosier Ag Today and HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank. We'll talk to you again on Friday morning, the day after Christmas. Have a good one.